Well, hey friends, welcome to my daily teaching. This week again, I'm going to be teaching all about the subject of prayer. And last week I began introducing this subject. This week I am not in a camp in Virginia, I'm in the heart of America, I'm in Times Square in New York. And it is noisy, it is wild, it is alive here. I don't know why, but I really love New York City. I think I'd hate to live here, but I love to come here. Usually come here about once a month, meet some people, do some meetings, do some videos, some shopping, sit outside and drink coffee and watch the world go by. So join me. Pull up a coffee. I got seltzer water today, but it's great to have you here. Hey, real quick, as always, some really brief housekeeping things. If you are new to my YouTube channel, we have over nearly 1.2 million subscribers. Love to have you join. Hit the little button down there. I encourage everybody to sign up for our email newsletter. Again, link below for that. And lastly, I want to say a big thanks to all of the friends and partners of our ministry who support us, who empower us, who pray for us, who send us, and who enable us to do what we do for the gospel. So big shout out and thank you to them. All year long, we are promoting videos like these in the Middle East, particularly to Muslim young men. YouTube is a very kind of male-orientated platform for some reason. And we're putting these videos in front of Muslim young men. So I appreciate your help, your support. For about $10 a month, I could put this video in front of around about 2,000 young men in Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iran, places like that. Somebody's going to be clever and go, well, you don't have YouTube in Iran. Listen. About two-thirds of Iranians are under the age of 20, and they all know how to break out of the Iranian internet blackout and get out there. They know what a VPN is. So thank you for your help and support. Sign up below if you'd like to do that. So let's talk about prayer again. This week I'm going to be teaching and talking all about intercession. And I want to do a quick recap, though. You know, in Luke 11, in Matthew 6, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. In a way, it was an admission of failure, but to some degree, it's like the disciples were saying, we thought we knew how to pray, but when you pray, something different happens. When you pray, stuff happens. When you pray, blind eyes open. When you pray, things change. And I believe we have a God who answers prayer. There's a funny thing I do sometimes, and I think at some degree the Lord will allow me to do it on my own. Sometimes He'll prompt me. Sometimes I'll say, Lord, can I do it? Where I've done this now hundreds and hundreds of times. And occasionally at the beginning of a sermon, I will say, how many people in the room have pain in their body right now? Like right now pain. And usually, you know, depending on the size of the crowd, there's going to be 10 to 20% of people who are in pain to some degree at that actual moment. And I will quickly ask them to stand, maybe lay their hands on their own bodies. I'll pray, tell the pain to go whenever, believe I receive it. We'll come back to that in a moment. And then thank the Lord for it. And then I'll sit down and I'll just carry on. I just start preaching. And in a way they go, great, he prayed for us. Nice. Great. Went to church and I got some prayer. And yet what they don't know is usually in about 10 minutes later, I'll suddenly stop mid-sermon, if you will. And I will say, 10 minutes is not mid-sermon for me. But I usually say, right, 10 minutes ago, we prayed for 15 people, whatever it might be. Now, I'll say, if you're one of those people who stood up, check yourself, examine you. You know, move your body, check. Move your shoulder, whatever that thing is the pain still there? And then I will usually say, how many of the people who stood up, you know, 10 minutes ago, are now instantly healed? And let me tell you, give me your two quick confessions here. Number one, I don't think I've ever done that without having Satan lie to me and say, nobody will have been healed. You look stupid. You're going to preach a dumb sermon and people will not listen to you for the rest. He'll lie. That's what he does. That's his job description. He's a liar and the father of lies, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the other thing I can tell you is I've never done that without at least having a third of the people, usually 80 or 90% of the people, instantly healed. The funny thing is, sometimes they don't even notice they're healed. They thought about it when I asked. They had pain, and they'll, you know, respond, and then 10 minutes later, you know, we don't actually notice the absence of something. You notice pain, toothache, that hurts. You never wake up. Nobody's ever woke up and go, oh, I've got no toothache today. And suddenly they'll stand up all over the room and give God glory that he's answered prayer. And my point in saying that is, what I'll usually do is turn to the congregation and say, look, you know, see the example. God answers prayer. And I'd love you to catch that thought, that subject today. God answers prayer. And as I said last week, our biggest challenge from my perspective is not to persuade God to answer prayer. I think that's easy. I think what we've actually got to do is let go of all of the baggage of unanswered prayer. It's like we prayed, nothing happened, and we carry around the emotional entanglement, the emotional baggage of all of these bad episodes, these bad bits of history. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, Proverbs 29 says. And Romans, I believe it's 10:10, I think it is, or 10:11 says, with the heart, man believes. So, hope deferred makes your heart sick, and it's with the heart, man believes. So how can you believe if you don't have hope, or if you've got bad hope rotting on the inside of you? So it's really important we get healed and we'll get let go. We get set free. Let's try that from that thing there. Good. So this week, I'm really just introducing this today, but I'm going to be talking all week long about the subject of intercession. And what is intercession? Intercession basically means to pray for somebody else. It's legitimate and actually good to pray for yourself. You should pray for yourself. You should pray for, you know, kings, rulers, those in authority, presidents, prime ministers. You know, there are specific things we're told, we're commanded to pray for. But it's really important that we pray for ourselves. And what I'm particularly going to be speaking about this week is how to pray for people near and dear to you. How to pray for your children, for your, maybe your parents, grandparents, siblings, family, neighborhood. How to pray for the people you actually know. And sometimes the rules of engagement get a little different when we stop praying for ourselves. There are things I can pray for me with 100% certainty, but I can't pray for you with 100% certainty. But here's the deal. There are many things I can pray for you with 70 or 80% certainty, or I can shift the landscape in your life by doing that. So it's really important we learn to pray, and it's really important we learn to pray effective, fervent prayers for other people. Now, let me just make one or two qualifying things, and I'll draw this to a close and we'll carry on tomorrow. But firstly, what is intercession? Now, I want to say this. In the body of Christ right now, at least here in America, it's probably true in Western Europe, this is true anywhere Christian books get published. This is true anywhere there is a marketplace of ideas. This is true anywhere people try to make a name for themselves, to sell a product, to do a conference, to market themselves by producing ideas. And quite often in the body of Christ, you'll get these kind of like streams of thought, this whole concept around how to pray, how to do this, how to do that. And they will take a biblical word, a biblical name, like in this instance, we're talking about intercession, and produce a whole bunch of teaching that you would never get if you read the Bible 1,000 times over. And they will sell it saying, well, this is intercession and the Bible says we should intercede. And if you ever have the temerity to question their teaching, they'll immediately go, oh, you don't believe what the Bible says about intercession. And my point is, don't be hoodwinked by people. You know, if anybody, your local church, Graham Jones on YouTube, if anybody teaches you something that you can't clearly see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can't see Jesus do, you can't see Jesus teach, you can't see the apostles do in the book of Acts primarily, and you can't see the apostles teach primarily in the epistles. I want to say lovingly, throw it out, or make it a very second grade, wouldn't be in the word, would not be the appropriate, but like a third grade teaching. It's okay to speculate. It's okay to have ideas. If I were to say to you, God likes it when I wear sneakers more than formal shoes, it's really hard to prove that with the Bible. If I told you in heaven we will pray, play frisbee, you know, I don't know. Really hard to come up with Bible for that. So my point is, a lot of people are selling ideas, and intercession, spiritual warfare, often intercession becomes one of these things where people have these weird, wacky, wonderful, highly developed theories, these structures of how to pray, and you've got to organize this. And in a way, watch out. Don't be the fool who parts with his money to buy the book or go to a conference. And I'll just give examples of a few of these, but people teaching the courts of heaven, that's complete and utter nonsense. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you need to go into the courts of heaven and fight your fight. And here's the deal. What nearly all of these teachings do is replace the cross of Jesus with a methodology and effort and work and specialized secret knowledge that only we know. They try to replace the blood of Jesus and the work of the cross by some methodology. And I want to tell you, don't be hoodwinked by that. Don't go down the road if you've fallen down some of those pathways. Again, Jesus loves you and I love you, but come back, open your Bible, let the Bible be the test, the litmus test, sola scriptura. Let the Bible be the test of what we believe. If I were talking to a dear Catholic person today who said, well, we've got to pray to the saints, well, firstly, we're all saints if you're believers, and there's nowhere in the Bible that the Bible tells us to pray to saints. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible are we taught to call somebody father. Jesus literally said, don't call anybody father, and they call people father. There's nowhere really in the Bible, now there's a slight exception to this, but where we have to go to a man to have our sins forgiven. We go to God through Jesus to have our sins forgiven. Now again, if you're really weak in your faith, you're living in condemnation, struggling, you can come and see me, and I will pray for you, but I won't forgive your sins. In prayer, I will take you to the Father. It's like I'll pick you up like a hitchhiker and bring you and say, Father, my friend Fred here is really struggling. Together, you see his heart, his repentance. We plead the blood of Jesus. And I'm just helping him step into what's already his. He can receive healing on his own, but if he's weak, I can help him step into healing. But my point is, when somebody's teaching something outside of Scripture, throw it away. Come back to the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. So let me end this. What is intercession? Intercession is praying for somebody else. End of. It doesn't mean sheep shouting and screaming all night long. It doesn't mean rolling on the floor. I'm not adverse to the odd roll on the floor. Depends on the circumstance. It doesn't mean you've got to adopt some weird methodology that's not in the Bible. To intercede means to pray for somebody else. Right now in Times Square, let's say there's a chap over here eating his lunch, a hamburger. If I just felt him, I wanted to pray for him, and I said, Lord, would you just bless this guy? Would you just touch him? Would you reach out to him? Maybe he won't talk to me, but send the right person. Bless that guy. Don't even, in the name of Jesus, amen. But I've just moved into intercession. And it doesn't have to get any more complicated than that. But we're going to unpack this in the days coming this week. If you have some questions, fire those off to me. I'll do a Q&A. And God wants you to pray effective prayers, excuse me, for other people. Selah. Thanks for watching, guys. I'm going to be back tomorrow in your world with the second teaching, even though I'm going to record it right now. And bless you wherever you are. Do hit the subscribe button and check out the links below. God bless you.